For today, let's go to our scripture reading. We are going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Forgive me for starting this sermon series 4 weeks ago. I didn't think that I would be taking the past three Sundays off with illness, but I'm going to give a little recap in the message here this morning to kind of refresh us from what we learned 4 weeks ago. But today I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read four verses, verses 4 through 7. And I will have those words up here on the screen. These are the words from the New American Standard Bible Translation. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Starting with verse number 4. These are the words of the Apostle Paul as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Well, we're going to stop right there. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, these four quick verses about spiritual gifts, what do they mean to us? How are we supposed to think and act upon these gifts that you have given us? Let us learn a little bit more about spiritual gifts here today, Lord, from what your scripture teaches us. As always, you will get the praise. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we're going to continue in a series. Again, I apologize for having week number one 4 weeks ago, but I think we'll be able to pick up here on the series on understanding spiritual gifts. That's the title of the series. And I've titled today's message, "For the Common Good." Those are the exact words that the Apostle Paul uses in verse number 7 of chapter 12. As with any biblical topic, we must build a strong foundation on the rock. If a foundation, if any kind of biblical foundation is built on sinking sand, what happens? Well, it sinks. It's built on sinking sand. It collapses. It crashes, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. I believe it is very important that we know and that we understand the foundational truths about spiritual gifts. And it's going to take us many weeks to get through this whole thing. Because if we don't know the basic foundational truths, who knows what one may believe about them later on. So let's do a review of what I covered 4 weeks ago. We'll do this rather quickly. The first question is this: who receives spiritual gifts? Answer: only believers receive spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 1. Question number 2: who gives believers their spiritual gifts? Answer: the Holy Spirit gives the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 11. Question number 3: what gift or gifts do believers receive? Answer: very, very important. The Holy Spirit wills, or some Bibles use the word determines, what gifts we receive. The Holy Spirit determines what gifts we receive. Again, 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 11. Question number 4: how do I know what gift or gifts that I may have? Well, I said this: when we use our spiritual gifts with the right intentions, they will never be a burden to us or to others. It will always be in Christ's power and the power of the Holy Spirit that we use these gifts. Let me give you just two quick examples. If you are trying to teach, and teaching is a spiritual gift, but if it's not your gift, you will not do it very effectively. It will be a chore for you to prepare your lessons, and you will have no peace and no joy in your efforts in trying to do so. On the other hand, if the gift of giving, the gift of generosity, if that is your gift, then it will never, ever be a chore, and you will always have peace and joy in the times that you give. And our last and final review question from 4 weeks ago, how many spiritual gifts can I have? And the answer to that is this. Well, let's just say this. No one person has all the gifts. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift, and some believers might have multiple spiritual gifts. But no one person has all the gifts. And as we continue in the weeks coming up, we will talk about all the different gifts that are listed. There was a phrase that I kept on repeating in our last time together, and it is this. And I want to keep on repeating this because this is so foundational. The spiritual gifts, they are not earned. They are not learned. They cannot be bought, and they cannot be taught. Why? Because they are gifts. This is foundational, and we need to know this if we're going to understand anything concerning spiritual gifts. You and I cannot do enough works to earn the gift of discernment, and discernment is a gift. You cannot learn how to be a generous giver. You cannot learn that. Faith is a gift. You cannot buy faith as a gift. And teaching, which is also a gift, I cannot teach you how to be an encourager, which is also a gift. So we've covered all four of these. They are not earned, they are not learned, they cannot be bought, and I can't teach you how to do these things. The gift or gifts that you and I have will always be determined by the Holy Spirit. So that's a refresher from our last time together. And today we're going to talk about the purpose of spiritual gifts that we have been given. Why do we have them? And what should I do with the gifts that I have? If you remember in our last time together, I used an analogy of when I used to work for McClung Companies in their shipping department. And I said this, they equipped me with four basic tools to use because I worked in their shipping department. They gave me a box cutter, they gave me a shipping tape, they gave me a computer and printers, and they gave me a pallet jack. All those things, I would have never gotten my job done completely and efficiently had I not had those tools. So they equipped me with these things so I could do my job effectively and efficiently. Well, likewise, the Spirit of God provides or equips us with the necessary tools. And we call these tools spiritual gifts. Why do we have them? Well, so we can do our job effectively and efficiently. Now, let's define what our job is and our responsibility as a believer. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, What? I have a job? I have a responsibility as a believer? Please don't send me as a missionary to Africa. Well, that might not be the case. But we all have a purpose within the church as believers. We must never think that once we become a believer, that once we get saved, that all we need to do is just sit back, maybe go to church when we can, and throw a little money in the collection basket when it comes around, and we'll certainly attend the potluck dinners. No, believers, we have a job to do within the church. We have a purpose within the body of Christ. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12. And it says this. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. The title of today's message is this, For the Common Good. That's the same thing as what is written here, to the building up of the body of Christ. They are one and the same. So let's go to our first fill-in-the-blank in our bulletin. I think we have six of them here today. Our first fill-in-the-blank would say this. It is the responsibility of the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of service. It is my responsibility as your pastor to equip you for kingdom work. And I do that by using my gifts of teaching and preaching and trying to help you identify what your gifts are. And then we all use our gifts for the common good and building up of the body of Christ. I build you up, you build me up, and we build each other up. And I truly hope that this sermon series helps us all better define what are our gifts and how can I best use them within the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's pretty much the chapter on spiritual gifts, verses 12 through 26, Paul talks about the body. And the body that he's referring to is the body, the church. And that can mean the local church, like us here at Beech Grove Church, or it can mean the global church, the entire church. But for the sake of this entire series, let's just focus on the local church just for now. Let's just focus on Beech Grove. In verses 12 through 26, and I'm not going to put all those verses up here, Paul compares the people in the church to a body with parts. Each body part has a function. And when every body part is functioning well, the entire body functions well. And the same goes with us here at Beech Grove Church. When we all use our spiritual gifts, whatever they may be, the body of believers functions well. And that's what we want to do. We want to function well here. And as with the human body, Paul says, not all parts are visible. Some are inside where we can't see them. Somewhere in this body of mine, I know that I have two kidneys that perform some function of some sort. And I also know this, that if I didn't have them, if they were not doing their job, I would not live a very long life. As a matter of fact, I probably wouldn't live without them. But they are just as important, even though they're not seen, as the parts that are visible, like my eyes or my ears or even my mouth. I have the opportunity of using my spiritual gifts of teaching and preaching every Sunday here at this church. And these gifts are very visible. I'm in front of you every Sunday. But some of you, maybe many of you, have invisible gifts that are more behind the scenes, so to speak. But I guarantee you, this body here at Beech Grove Church will not function well without these invisible parts doing their work as well. So why does Paul use this tie spiritual gifts with this analogy of the human body? And that will be our next fill in the blank. Because the church, folks, is not an organization. It is an organism. And that organism is alive. And it needs to be fed. And it needs to be nourished so this organism can be built up. So how does that happen? Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, and he's referring to spiritual gifts, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love, building up of us. So our next fill in the blank is going to be pretty obvious of what Paul just said. We use our spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ for the common good. When we use our gift or gifts that we have, the body grows and it gets built up for the building up of itself, is what it said back for the building up of itself. We want to build ourselves up. That means this. Another critical statement. Our concern with spiritual gifts should never be about ourselves. I have the gift of teaching to build up the body. You have other gifts such as encouragement, administration, mercy, etc., to build up the body. We use our gifts for the common good. And by doing so, we feed this living organism that we call the church. So let's establish this truth just a little bit further. I think we've got three more fill in the blanks. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 24b and 25 says this, "But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another." Here we see that concept of building each other up again. Every part will have equal concern, equal care for each other. And when we do this, then no divisions or schisms or church splits, things like that, will never break out, because we are concerned for the other person and not necessarily ourselves. So that fill in the blank, pretty straightforward. We are given different gifts so that there will be no division in the body and that every part should have the same care for each other. Again, I have gifts that you may not have, and you have gifts that I certainly do not have. So let's move on here a little bit more. We're going to go to 1 Peter 4:10. And Peter says this, "As each one has received a special gift," again, he's talking about spiritual gifts, "employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Pretty straightforward. Our fill in the blank says this, our spiritual gifts are used to serve one another. Who are the one another's? Well, that's pretty straightforward. The church, the body of believers, us, right here. Once again, we see the purpose of the gifts is for the building up of the body and not to build ourselves up. They're never used to build ourselves up. One final truth about these gifts, 1 Peter 4:11, he says this, "Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." So we establish this truth that Peter says this, that God may be glorified. So we know that the gifts are to serve one another, and we says this, that God may be glorified. So our last final and fill in the blank is very straightforward. It says this, when everyone uses their gifts, their spiritual gifts, God gets the glory. I don't get the glory. You don't get the glory. God gets the glory. But ultimately, when we look good as believers, as a church, God looks good. And again, to him be all the praise and glory. And after all, it was his spirit that gave us the gifts to begin with, right? He gave us these gifts. So just like the proper use of the tools that I had when I was working at McClung's in the shipping department, as it benefited our customers, the proper use of our spiritual gifts builds up other believers. Likewise, just as the proper use of the tools that I had and McClung's and their shipping department made my company look good, the proper use of our spiritual gifts makes God look good in this world. And of course, that's on the positive side. Just real quickly, the negative side, improper use of spiritual gifts has the potential for tearing down other believers and kind of making God look like a fool. And we certainly do not want to do that. We use our gifts for the common good of building each other up and ultimately for the glory of God. I build you up, you build me up, we build each other up. And I'm just going to end with this. because I really want this to get implanted right here in our brain about spiritual gifts. They are not earned. They are not learned. They cannot be bought, and they cannot be taught. And then our lesson for today, they are for the common good to build up the body of Christ. This is what we need to remember as we go into the weeks ahead of us as we talk about the other spiritual gifts. Let's go to God in a time of prayer.